It's 10 o'clock.
Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. We invite everyone to please stand if you're able and turn and face the back of the sanctuary this morning. Always blessed to be gathered together as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus today. Thanks for being here for our service. We're blessed to be together in the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ and what he's accomplished for us through his life, death, burial, and resurrection. This morning we welcome those who are tuned in on the radio and welcome you to our service and send you the Lord's blessings as well. And we'll be following the order of service, Divine Service Setting 1. Our service obviously beginning in the back of the sanctuary today, and we'll process in with the cross and the scriptures during our processional hymn. So if you'd follow along with me in your bulletin on page 2. We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our processional hymn.
Save.
continue with our introit this morning from Psalm 34. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Our
lies from death and hell. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. So shall our song of triumph ever be, praise to the crucified for victory. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world his sacred name. Almighty God, your Son willingly endured the agony and shame of the cross for our redemption. Grant us courage to take up our cross daily and follow him wherever he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament lesson for today, the 14th Sunday after Pentecost, comes from Jeremiah's prophecy in the 15th chapter. Here we hear Jeremiah himself dealing with what it means to be a servant of the Lord and the trials and tribulations that come along with it, but also the joy and glory of the Lord that he blesses his people with. We begin in verse 15 of Jeremiah 15. O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me, and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, take me not away. Know that for your sake, I bear reproach. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. I did not sit in the company of revelers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because your hand was upon me, for you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Will you be to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail? Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, I will restore you. For you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall be as my mouth. They shall turn to you, but you shall not turn to them. I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you, for I am with you to save you and deliver you, declares the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. This is the word of the Lord. We continue with our epistle lesson from the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. The apostle writes by the Holy Spirit, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, But leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. At this time, we invite the congregation to stand as we sing our Alleluia verse and as the cross moves to the center of the nave for our gospel reading.
To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We sing the doxology as the cross returns to the altar. Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our hymn of the day for today? It's 427, In the Cross of Christ I Glory.
Thank you.
the name of Jesus, amen. In our gospel reading today, we have the account of what we referenced last Sunday during the sermon. If you made it in last Sunday, you probably recall this. It's the account of Jesus saying literally to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Seems a bit harsh. At least at first read here, first glance, you kind of say, easy there, Jesus, calling Peter Satan. But we know that Jesus is passionate about our salvation, that nothing's going to stand in his way, nothing and no one. And we can also tell from the text that Peter really wasn't paying maybe as close of attention as he should to what Jesus had been telling him and the other disciples. And we kind of know what this is like, right? Like, have you ever gotten one of those text messages where you read the first part of it and then you respond to the person before you read the second part? Like the part that bubbles up on your home screen and then you just hit something back? Or an email that way, you kind of rush through, just read the first part and then send a response. Later you go back and go, should have paid more attention to the rest of that email. And we do that too sometimes in our conversations. Because somebody will start telling us something, and we're so used to thinking of what we're going to say that sometimes we don't hear the last part of what they're saying. That's kind of what's going on here with the Apostle Peter. Jesus has just been telling them three basic truths. If you want to look at it, you can see it in verse 21 of our text. First truth there of the three is that he must go to Jerusalem. And the second, that when he's there, he'll be killed. So he has to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And then secondly, he must be killed. And then third, and for some reason, Peter misses this part, on the third day, be raised. The first two parts, suffer and be killed, kind of like us sometimes with our text messages, emails, and listening skills. Peter catches that part loud and clear, but it's the last part that's bewildering him enough, I think, that he misses a very, very important detail. He wants to stop Jesus now from being resurrected. So Peter takes him aside, verse 22, and says, "Far be it from you, Lord. That shall never happen to you." Don't miss the last part, Peter. It's kind of a big deal. But still, I wonder, why call him Satan? Is it just because he has bad listening skills? I don't think so. This is the part that's super easy to miss in this text. Jesus is suffering, his death, and his resurrection, all for one ultimate purpose that the evangelist Luke gives us in the 24th chapter of his gospel. Listen to this text, verses 46 and 47. He says, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness should be preached to all nations beginning from Jerusalem." It's easy to miss, but it's fundamentally forgiveness that Peter is unknowingly getting in the way of. Jesus is going there to earn our forgiveness, to purchase us back from sin, death, and the devil. And Peter's pretentious comments, "Not so, Lord," are getting in the way of forgiveness. And Jesus won't have it. And that, for us, no matter how we slice it, this getting in the way of forgiveness thing is the work of Satan. Hence what Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." Because this is one of the primary ways that Jesus is protecting us from how the devil's still trying to hurt us to this day. He tried to take away and get in the way of forgiveness in Matthew chapter 4 in the temptation in the wilderness and multiple other times throughout the gospel narratives, which we'll spare for the sake of time. But here's the thing. He's still trying it today. to get in the way of forgiveness, I mean. But his tactics are dark, selfish, and subversive. And his ways are hidden deep within the self-centeredness of everyday people. Just like with Peter, he was being Satan to Jesus. He didn't even realize it. Could we be in that position too, unknowingly, at times? We could. Let me give you some examples of what I mean this morning. Jesus will tell us all plainly that we must forgive each other. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. I think we could put it like this within the gathering of the church, because basically here in our fellowship, if any of us, this includes pastors, want to be unforgiving towards each other, want to hold a grudge towards each other, then I think we're safe to say, in light of our Lord's teaching, that the door is right there. And you can walk out it. And I don't say that to be mean, but I say it because, like Christ here in our lesson, if you're unwilling to forgive one another, if you're unwilling to be at peace, then the church will have to put you behind them. Because that's what we do here. That's our primary purpose here. That's why we gather together as a fellowship. Forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. Unforgiveness, grudges, anger, malice, spite, these things don't fit in. Now, this is the point in the sermon where everybody says, whoa, is there something going on in the church, Pastor? Something we should know about? No, there's not. Because we're really blessed. But we say these things and we learn these things so that we know that when the devil does come to cause us trouble, we know how to deal with it, thanks be to God. Did you hear that passage from Matthew 6? If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you yours. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. It's an important text to talk about. Because does that mean that by forgiving others, I'm actually kind of earning my forgiveness from God? No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean that at all. God's always willing to forgive us. That never changes. But what does change when we're unforgiving, when we're unwilling to forgive others their trespasses, what does change is us. The best example I can find of that in the whole wide world is the analogy of concrete. Because concrete, when it's poured out fresh, is easy to move with a shovel. But if you give that concrete some time, guess what it will do? It'll get hard. It'll set up. And the only way it can be moved after it's set up and gotten hard is with like a jackhammer and some big heavy equipment. In our lives, this is Satan's work. Hardening our hearts against God and against others. This is why Jesus tells us in the 18th chapter of Matthew, he says, if anyone sins against you, you should go to that person. Between you and them alone, and you should tell them their fault. And if they listen to you, you've gained back your brother or sister. And in Ephesians 4, it also says, stick with me, be angry and do not sin. So in other words, when we get hurt and we're upset about it, how do we not sin? Well, we don't sin by not allowing that concrete to harden in our hearts. It says, do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to guess who? Satan. This is what he's up to. If you're hurt or angry with someone who's hurt you, there's a temporal reality to this. Like, don't let the sun go down. Don't let too much time pass. Why? Because there's a hardening reaction that goes on with inside of us too, just like that concrete. So then what do I do, Pastor? Quick, go to that person. Text them, call them, have the conversation. Whatever it is, quick, before God has to use the jackhammer on us to break that hardened concrete up. If you can't make it right, because either the person is already passed on or unavailable to make it right with, then we forgive, as the Lord teaches us to even love our enemies. We forgive them, even if we can't work it out with them. But still, there's one more way I want to share. That was the first way that Satan gets in the way of forgiveness. He gets in the way by causing us to hold grudges, by causing us to be unforgiving. But the second way he gets in the way of forgiveness is he teaches or gives us these ideas that we can justify our sin. He tempts us to start questioning whether or not what we're involved in is sin at all. I'll give you a couple examples of that too. The Bible says to love each other. True. So shouldn't someone be able to love whoever they love? Shouldn't they be free to marry whoever they want to marry? Doesn't matter what gender. Shouldn't they be free to go about those loving things? See how he twists things and causes us to start justifying sin, saying it's okay. I've also heard this justification of sin a lot recently in another issue, which is predicated by this idea. The Bible doesn't actually say that this one activity is a sin. So maybe it's not, they say. I hear it a lot in regards to the use of THC, both in edibles and in beverages. And basically getting high, you'll hear people say, well, the Bible doesn't say it's a sin to get high. It doesn't directly say that. These are people looking for loopholes so they can ease their consciences and do what they love to do. And just a side note, in the Bible, drug use is directly connected through the language in the Greek, which with witchcraft and the occult. But it doesn't matter whether it's abuse of alcohol, prescription meds, the use of marijuana, or whatever. What's the goal of those addictive substances is escape. Escape from reality. We want to numb the mind to avoid our feelings. And it's another way of dealing with things that hurt us. And we'll turn to those substances sometimes, not realizing what Luther teaches us in the Large Catechism. That anything that we look to for our comfort, or for security, or for peace, or for relief, is our God, is our idol. This is what Satan does. He tries to get us to justify our actions so that he can what? Get in the way of forgiveness. The same thing Peter was doing that day with Jesus. The same thing that happens to us when we're unforgiving. See, we can't be forgiven for something that we'll refuse to call sin. We can't share forgiveness with each other if we're unwilling to share it. If we're holding on to things that have hurt us from the past. We all struggle. But I urge you this morning not to resist the Spirit. Let him convict you according to his word. If you're struggling with substances, if you're struggling with unforgiveness, don't hide, don't justify it, don't act like it's okay, don't spin it around and make up some kind of fairy tale about how it's not wrong. That's not what he's doing. He comes to us with the truth. And so instead of hiding from it, instead of dodging it and trying to find a way that says, hey, I'm okay, we just admit it by his grace, by his work. And then we watch the power of God work in our hearts through repentance and forgiveness in our own lives. Basically, the text is telling us this morning, it's reminding us too, don't stand in the way of forgiveness for others or for yourself. Don't be Satan. Jesus is actually blessing us with this text so much. He wants us to see how these things actually work. Christ doesn't come to us with the burden of rules. He comes forgiving our sin. That's what the Bible said, remember? That repentance and the forgiveness of sin should be preached to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Satan's dark, subversive work of unforgiveness in the heart, of being willing to, or being unforgiving or holding grudges, and also his dark, subversive work of justifying sin. God this morning, through his word, has drug that out into the light for you and me so we can see it, so we know what it is. It's for our benefit that Satan's goal, he's trying to stop forgiveness any way he can, but now you can see him. Now we can notice him getting in the way, doing his work, trying to stop forgiveness. So search your heart by God's word this morning and his grace. Where is Satan trying to stop forgiveness in your heart? I know the first move, because I'm a sinner too. The first move is to be like, well, you know, I'm sure this message is helping somebody, but I'm not too worried about it. Or this idea is like, well, it's great, but let me just dodge it real quick. I'll just think about something else real quick. What's for lunch? Search your heart. Let the scripture peer into you. Let the word of God reveal what's really going on. Don't be afraid of it. Christ has beat it. He's destroyed it. He's taken victory over it. Let the law be the jackhammer if it has to. It might hurt. It might crush us a bit. Where are we being unforgiving? Where are we justifying sin? And then repent. Because our Lord didn't stop. He didn't let Satan stop him. But he went with his face set like flint towards Jerusalem, towards the cross where he would suffer and be killed. But he would rise again. So that we can all say to the devil, get behind me, Satan. And we can go to those people who've hurt us. And we can examine our hearts by his word and see what hurtful behavior we're really trying to justify. And then by his teaching, put those things behind us. Not to earn his love or his forgiveness, but because it's already ours. He wants to make sure we're not getting in the way of it. As the scriptures say to believers, and I'm almost done, Isaiah 55, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And in James chapter 4, therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And that's what he does this morning. As his true believers, saved not by what we do, or what we think, or how we act, but by what he's done, he draws us near to him to help us let go of the things that we're holding on to help us stop justifying the sins that are hurting us. So he draws us up to his table so we can bear our hearts to him, saying to him, fix the things that keep me away from you. Give me faith, strengthen my faith, and strengthen me to act before my offenses harden in my heart. And Lord, use the jackhammer of the law, if you must, to crush those things that I've already let harden up in me and keep me distant from other people. shatter them with the mighty hammer of your law. Lord, put Satan behind us. Just like you did that day so long ago when he tried to work through your disciples back then to stop forgiveness. Lord, he's trying to work through us to stop forgiveness too. And in the same way we pray, put him behind you again and put him behind us. For Lord, we're weak and we're frail when it comes to these things. But in you, we can be strong in the power of your might to overcome those grudges and unforgiveness. And Lord, teach us what is good and evil, and lead us in your ways to the glory of the Father. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able as we confess our faith together this morning to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We now come to the time in our service where we come before the Lord in prayer and the prayers of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, we pray you teach your faithful ones to trust so fully in your fatherly care and forgiveness that they seek not vengeance, but mercy. Stoke our zeal to bless those who curse us and to heap holy coals upon their heads. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you have made us feast on your word to the delight of our hearts. Keep us from worldly company of revelers who despise your word, and inspire the pastors of your church to brazenly proclaim what is precious, the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. In your mercy. Amen. Heavenly Father, open wide the hearts of Christians to one another, especially within the home and between neighbors and co-workers. Let love be genuine, speech truthful, and patience constant. Let us commend ourselves in everything as those known by God's love, and therefore unashamed to serve one another. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Preserve our nation, O Lord, its leaders, and those who serve. Lord, may they work for the good of our people and for our protection. Lord, we beg you to grant peace, continued peace in our time, O Lord. for we know that you alone fight for us. Lord, in your mercy. Great physician, Lord Jesus, heal and restore. We name before you this morning from our altar those who've requested prayer or someone's requested prayer for them. Lord, this morning we name before you Thaddeus Cody, Dave Sturr, Jim and Linda Holman, Dennis Ortiz, Letha Hershey, J.D. Deacon, Dale Randorf, James Mills, Frankie Gray, Carolyn Jury, Mona Hauser, Marcelo Pilcher, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Frank Rendon, Ella Clark, Greg and Chris, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Father, give them your holy care and strength to bear their crosses, that they may endure to see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom, Lord, and deliver healing and comfort and peace wherever it's needed. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, lead us to repentance and faith, not to hide, but to bear our hearts to you, and not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but that we would set our hearts and minds on the things that you teach us. Father, prepare us to receive the blessed gifts of our Lord's table, by which you preserve us, holy and blameless in Christ, until he comes again. Lord, in your mercy. Rise up, O Lord, and avenge those who are persecuted for the name of your Son, Jesus. In communion with all your saints, grant us endurance to bear our crosses as Christ bore his for us. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. This time I would like to invite Mr. Sherman Strobeck up to our altar for our installation, our last installation on our planning council, installation of the Director of Lay Ministry. I can tell you this, I've had the opportunity to work with Sherman for quite some time on the lay ministry board, and Sherman has been in service in this capacity many times before, but we thank the Lord that he has put it in his heart that he's willing to serve as director of lay ministry for us again. So we'll just go through our installation rite for that. Beloved in the Lord, Holy Scripture admonishes us that in all things should be done decently and in order. To that end, the constitution and bylaws of this congregation establish various offices to which men and women are elected and appointed to serve. In doing so, our church follows the example of the early Christian church, as described in Acts chapter 6, verses 2 through 4. The 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word." And the Apostle Peter writes in his first epistle, chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Sherman Strobeck has been elected to serve as the director of lay ministry here at Trinity Lutheran Church. You've been chosen to fill a specific office and position and responsibility here at Trinity Lutheran Church and School. You are to work with the pastor to our life together may be orderly and pleasing in his sight. You are to see that the services of God's house are held at proper times, that the word of God is purely preached and taught according to the Lutheran confessions, and the sacraments of Christ are administered according to his institution, that provision is made for the Christian instruction of young and old, and that the erring are admonished and the discipline is maintained. You are to see that the temporal affairs of this congregation are properly administered, and that proper support is provided for the workers of this congregation. You are to assist in caring for the poor and the sick, and in cultivating harmony among the members, and promoting the general welfare of the congregation, and furthering the kingdom of Christ here and throughout the world. While holiness of life and obedience to Christ are expected of all members of this congregation, it's especially important that you, as the director of lay ministry in his church, show yourself by word and example to be faithful in service and Christian devotion. In the presence of God and of this congregation, I therefore ask you, do you accept the office of director of lay ministry that's been entrusted to you, and do you promise faithfully to carry out your duties, trusting in the Lord and conforming yourself to his word in accordance with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? If so, then answer, I do.
I do.
Beloved in the Lord, you've heard the promises of faithfulness spoken by Sherman this morning, whom you've selected to serve as the director of lay ministry here at Trinity Lutheran. Do you promise to support him in his work, to remember him in your prayers, and to work with him to the best of the abilities that God has given you so that Christ may be glorified and his work be done in our midst? If so, then answer, we do.
We do.
Sherman Strobeck, I install you as the director of lay ministry here at Trinity Lutheran Church in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty God, merciful Heavenly Father, enlighten and strengthen you in your office, that you may be a good and faithful steward to the glory of his name and the good of his people. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have raised up Sherman to do your work in this office as the director of lay ministry. And we humbly implore you to grant him by your Holy Spirit the gifts that he needs for the faithful carrying out of his task, most especially, Lord, wisdom, strength, and a willing heart. Let your blessing rest on this congregation. Strengthen the faith, quicken the love, enkindle the zeal of its members, that your name may be glorified, that here and in all places under heaven, the kingdom of your Son may be advanced. We remember with thanksgiving those who have faithfully served your people and have now completed their time of service. We pray that in the end of days, with all your faithful people, we may hear the voice of Christ saying to us, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you since the foundation of the world. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you. At this time, we come to the point in our service where we have the opportunity to return to the Lord a portion of the gifts that he so graciously blessed us with in our tithes and offerings. We do always remember that the Lord does not impose upon us some sort of rule to give, but he desires that we give according to what him and ourselves have worked out in our hearts, and that we give graciously, for the Lord loves a cheerful giver. So as the offerings are collected and presented this morning, would you join us in singing our offertory hymn? That's hymn 711, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. At this time, we invite the congregation to please stand for our service of the sacrament. The service is found on page 12 in the bulletin. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning in, and we wish you the Lord's blessings in Christ Jesus, and we're glad you were able to join us that way. And if you're able, we welcome you in to our church service here at Trinity in person on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. We continue here on page 12 with the preface. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and with archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna.
And you've been listening to Pastor Jason Cody live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK, Walsenburg.